The reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran into Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou called me." And he said, "I called not. Lay down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lay down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth."
The second reading is taken from John 1, reading from verse 43 to the end. It's headed, "Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael." The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray as Ian speaks to us. Lord, thank you that you have spoken to Ian as he's prepared. Please give us open hearts and minds to hear your words to each of us as we listen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. And thank you to Pauline and to Harry for those two readings. What links those two readings? Well, in the first, the Old Testament reading, the Lord calls the boy Samuel. In the second reading, Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. So it's about the experience of the Lord calling us. Notice none of them had met with God before. They were all beginners, first timers. So what I want to think about with you today is, how does the Lord call you? And indeed, how do you know it's God and not your own idea or an overactive imagination? I can remember being about 10 years old, sitting in our village church. I was a little bit bored, to be honest, and seeing a Bible verse written in mosaic tiles around the top of the walls. Here's a little photo that I found on Google of that same church building. I don't know if you can see, but around the top of the white walls there is a verse. I know now it was from Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna, modern Izmir, if any of you have been to Turkey. And the verse said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And I remember sitting there thinking, that's a bit like a bargain offer, some kind of a deal that God is offering. You be mine, and I'll be yours. You be a believer all your life unto death, and I will give you eternal life. And my instinctive response was, fair enough, sounds like a deal. Looking back, I think of that now as like a call to follow him, almost like little Samuel. Although, of course, I didn't hear a voice in the dark. I saw a mosaic in church. I can also remember being a teenager, facing choices about subjects and exams, worrying about what to study and what career to pursue, how to decide these difficult questions. These are directions for life, with consequences for decades to come. How would I know who to marry, for example, or which company to work for? And it really worried me. But when I discovered a personal Christian faith, when I began to get to know Jesus, I suddenly realized that the pressure was off. God knows what's best. All I have to do is find out what he wants. Well, okay, maybe it's not quite so straightforward as that, but in principle, it's on him and not on me. So what's his calling? What's his will? Now, I could multiply examples of choosing a career in electronics defense research, of getting engaged and married to Jane, finding a house to live in, training and getting ordained, finding parishes and churches to minister in. And some of those choices felt like really huge ones, big ones. We spent weeks fasting and praying to discover what God's calling was. But some of them are quite simple little choices, whether to speak to this person, whether to give to that charity. And each time you face a call like that, you can learn a little bit more of how God guides you, what his ways are. Some people are very visual, aren't they? Tim Dooley is an obvious example. See pictures in their mind that God gives them. I can remember at college, I asked other ordinands how it was that God had called them into Christian ministry. And almost all the white British students said that their friends had suggested that they might consider becoming a vicar. But all the black Africans said that Jesus had appeared to them in a dream one night. Different ways of calling. I wonder if God has spoken to you. How do you actually receive his call? And it doesn't have to be a call to ordination, of course. It could be a call to be a social worker or an accountant or a lorry driver. You don't have to be religious either. Recently on the TV, I watched Greta Thunberg speaking to the United Nations. And it was remarkable how she spoke with great passion. Let me just share a little bit of that with you now.
Please take your seats. Greta, your first climate strike was a lonely event a little over a year ago, demanding action for climate change. What's your message to world leaders today?
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering, people are dying, entire ecosystems are collapsing, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? For more than 30 years, the science has been crystal clear. How dare you continue to look away and come here saying that you're doing enough when the politics and solutions needed are still nowhere in sight? You are failing us. But the young people are starting to understand your betrayal. The eyes of all future generations are upon you. And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you.
Very powerful stuff. Only 16, I think, at the time, but speaking with passion and courage and anger. Can you actually doubt that she has a calling in our world? A bit like a biblical prophet speaking truth to power, but without any of the religious language or landscape. Nor did it have to be big and famous like that either. On Friday evening, my brother phoned, and he was chattering away as he does about all sorts of things. And then just before he rang off, he told me my cousins, Jill and Bruce, were both unwell. And could I at least ring Jill? I hadn't contacted either of them for years, and I felt a bit guilty about that, to be honest. But I also felt a nudge to break the habit and give them a call. So I phoned Jill, and I had a warm reply and a lovely chat, more pleasant than I deserved after leaving it for so long. So I thought, strike while the iron's hot. And I phoned Bruce, and again had a good reception and a few minutes talk about his health and family. How do you know if it's the Lord's calling? If it's the Spirit of God prompting? Well, I think hindsight is one of the most helpful things. Looking back, was it the right thing to do or not? Do you think God was able to use you and to do his work through you? What were the consequences, the results? Do you have peace about it? Then again, the wisdom of other Christian friends is also helpful, because often they see things differently from a separate perspective. And they can tell you that, yes, God was at work there. Do you have a calling on your life? How might you describe your profession, your gifting, what you're called to do? You may not have seen it like that before, but once you do, it becomes more significant. You become part of a bigger picture, a greater story. Or maybe you're just called to do something very simple today, like making a donation or contacting someone who needs to hear from you or sorting something out and dealing with it. Most of us don't hear a voice in the dark like little Samuel, or indeed the voice of Jesus, as Philip and Nathaniel did. we just get a sense of, this is what I should do. And when that nudge comes to you, when that sense comes upon you, then pray and worship God. And then take action. Follow your calling and thank God for his call on your life.